In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the Sunday after Theophany, so we get to celebrate this wonderful feast twice, as it were, because we're hearing a lot of the hymns today that we didn't hear last week because it was a baptismal liturgy. The Theophany, of course, it's a glorious time in the period of the church. It's just the manifestation of the Holy Trinity. The time when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to be baptized by John in the Jordan, not because he needed it, but to fulfill righteousness. And then also to mark the beginning, essentially, of his ministry. Because as we hear in the gospel today, the Lord says in those final words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so he embarks on his 3-year ministry after receiving baptism from John. Now, of course, this whole feast that we celebrate is just inundated with the mystery of baptism incorporated into it for our own baptisms. For as Christ went down into the water and then came up, and then St. Paul hints of this in his epistle to the Ephesians today, that he who had ascended, what did that mean, except that he also must have descended into the nether parts of the earth and then risen high above the heavens, that he might be filling all things. It's good for us to remember that in our own entrance into the church, into our own baptisms or chrismations, we are essentially doing the same thing in imitation of the Lord, so that we are following him down into the depths and arising with him into new life, into new and wonderful life. And because of this, we also have to remember, and this is very important because I think we tend to forget it, because as Christians, once we have accepted entrance into the church and that mark is made upon our souls as being a member of the church and belonging to Christ, that everything we do has to be considered in the light of our membership in this body. In other words, if you go out and you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of these other wonderful things that we're supposed to be doing out of love for our Lord, we are doing it in the name of Christ. If you are going to work and doing a good job at work, you're doing it in the name of Christ. If you're talking with a neighbor, you're doing it in the name of Christ. And in the same way, if you go into a store somewhere and you decided to pilfer something and walk out with it, well, you're also doing that in the name of Christ. And that's when things get a little dicey. Because we have to remember that as Christians, we are constantly proclaiming the name of Christ, not only verbally, but by all of our actions, all the things that we do in this world. We are doing them as members of Jesus Christ. And so it's no surprise that the first thing that the Lord would say to everyone is repent. And not just a one-time repentance, as so many believe today, but as an ongoing, continual process in our Christian lives. Because as we act in the name of Christ in all of these different things, many times it's going to be wonderful. We're going to actually do the things that the Lord wants, but many times also we're going to be grieving Him. But yet we can't get away from that inescapable fact that we're doing these things in His name, because we have been baptized into Him, into His life. When He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," well, He's essentially meaning that, because wherever He goes, wherever He's talked about, wherever He is proclaimed, there is the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom of heaven that He would later tell us is within us precisely because we have accepted baptism in His name. Because we have said to ourselves that this is something that I believe. This is something that is so profound and so wonderful to me that my whole life is going to be dedicated to it. But it's far more than even a dedication. The things that we proclaim as Christians are part of us, part and parcel of us, because we receive His body and blood. We have Him living in us. We can't escape Him anymore. He is with us until the day we die, and from that point for eternity. We cannot get away from Him. Everything that we have accepted into ourselves because of Him, we are also going to have to be held account for. And this is a very important thing in our Christian lives, because there is no turning back. The Lord allows us to turn away from Him. He allows us to ignore Him, but we cannot turn back from Him because He's part of us. He's completely wound up into every fiber of our being, physically and spiritually. And that's the great meaning of this feast, because He recreates everything. And by accepting what He gives us, we are accepting this recreation and the firm commitment to go forward in His life. St. Paul talks today in the epistle to the Ephesians that we heard. This epistle, by the way, was probably written around 50 AD. It is a little bit unusual in that it doesn't have that personal touch with all the greetings that St. Paul usually gives to people. So it was probably read in a multitude of churches, not just in Ephesus. But St. Paul today talks about our membership in Christ's body. And he talks about the gifts that Christ gives us because of this. And notice that he never once said that these gifts are given to us according to our measure of faith. And the reason for that is because if the gifts were given according to the measure of faith, well, some would be jealous of other people because other people have greater faith than we might have. The gift might be greater, and they would feel badly because they did not have enough faith in order to gain the greater gifts. No, that's not the point. St. Paul talks about this because the building up of the body of Christ occurs because of the gifts that God gives according to His will to each of us, solely for the building up of the body of Christ. We can be terrible Christians. We can be doing things badly all the time. But yet, we may still have gifts that the Lord uses for the sake of His body. And he talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And this is not a list that is complete. There's much more than this. But he mentions these things because of all the diversity that he gives to everyone in order that the congregation may thrive. Now, of course, we know that we're not all apostles. That was a unique gift at the time. We are maybe not all prophets, and some may think, well, prophets are gone, aren't they? But no, the prophetic spirit of God is still in His church. And those that have attained a certain spirituality have often prophesied. So it's not something that is out of bounds for any of us. We are all called to be evangelists. We are not all called to be pastors, although some of us might be. And many of us are called to be teachers. And the list could go on and on and on. But the important thing about this is to try and consider in yourself what gifts God has given you for the building up of His church, for the building up of His congregation. It's really far too easy. Oh, it's way too easy, actually, to come to church and to pray and worship and all these wonderful things that we do with the services of the church. But it's far too easy to think that somehow that's all there is to it, because it's not. Each one of us is called to contribute. And the way St. Paul expresses it in his epistle today, this is not something that's optional. If you're a Christian in the body of Christ, then it is assumed that you will be contributing one way or the other to the welfare of the congregation in these many, many things that we all do. It's important to examine ourselves to see, well, what is it that I could do? What is it that I have a gift for that I could contribute? And you know, it might be something that really you're not all that hepped up on. You know, there's a lot of things to be done in the church, and not everyone's lining up to do them because they're not the really special things, the things that get a lot of attention from the congregation or the things that will be noticed by other people. They could be rather mundane even. But they're all important things. They're all important things for us to consider doing in the church. And we have to be open to this whole idea, because it's through this participation in the congregation, it's through this utter participation in the life of the church that allows each one of us to manifest the grace of our baptisms in the world. That's how it works. We are all given gifts. There were no exceptions in what St. Paul said. Everybody has it. Some people go through their entire lives in a congregation not knowing really what that gift might be, because they haven't examined themselves. They haven't seen the ways that they could contribute to the church and its activities, both on Sundays, on feast days, and in the world at large. Perhaps you're being called to go to the poor out in the city. Perhaps you're being called to help a drug addict somewhere. If you're a rich man, perhaps you're being called to give a lot of your money. Well, it's difficult for someone who's rich to get into the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? That's one way, out of love for Christ, that it can be done. It's often a tricky thing for us to want to step forward and participate more fully in the life of the church, but it's something that has to be done. Again, it's not optional. If you call yourself a Christian, this is something that you have to do, because you have said, I commit myself to Christ. I want His life to live in me. Is that wonderful book by Archimandrite Sofroni titled, His Life is Mine. Because there is no other life outside of His. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for His creation of the world, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God keeping every single one of us alive in this world, we would be gone. There would be nothing. There are no human beings on earth that are able to sustain life even for a brief moment in and of themselves. They can't do it. That itself is a gift of God, something that He has given us. His life not only is mine, it's the only life there is. And because of this, it's very, very important for us to examine ourselves, to keep that spirit of repentance active among us, to keep that spirit of participation active among us, so that we can all build up ourselves and one another until we come to the stature of the perfect man, the life of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul tells us. Being a Christian can be a very difficult thing. We know that. God offsets the difficulties by giving us these extraordinary graces throughout our lives. His divine energies always radiate within us if we will but allow them. It is not something that we want to turn from, but something that we want to accept every day. Because outside of the Christian faith, my brothers and sisters, there is nothing but darkness. Now, while it's true that God may illumine some pagan somewhere far off according to his conscience, as St. Paul tells us, and that's a wonderful thing, that's an individual thing between that person and God. But as a philosophy, as a religion, even though I hate to use the word, as a way, which is what the Christians of early times used to call this life in Christ, there is nothing comparable. There is nothing life-giving. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. No one can approach God, even remotely, unless it is through Jesus Christ and the grace that He gives people. And in the Orthodox Church, He has given it abundantly. And so we've got to take this upon ourselves to awaken ourselves, to go into the world with the light that we receive every week, to upbraid those that need upbraiding, even in the congregation, to compliment those who need complimenting, but to always be behind them and support them in their Christian lives. Our lives in Christ start right here with each other. This is the most important community in your life, right here. These people beside you, these people here are your tickets to salvation, because it's only through one another that we reach the kingdom of heaven. So keep this in mind. When we greet each other, when we speak to one another, try to see that light of Christ in the other person. Try to see that image of God and know that they are all part of this glorious, glorious time that we have together while we're on earth that is given to us in the church, in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.